Today's lesson on the pastor study is entitled Words That Are Needed Today. Words That Are Needed Today. And we'll be in the book of Proverbs in just a moment. We'll begin there. But before we do, before we begin our lesson today, let us go to the throne room of grace. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, we come to you today asking your blessing upon the lesson today, upon your words. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage the saint of God listening today. And if there's a lost soul that's listening today, I pray they would come to realize their lost condition and need of salvation, and that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, believing that it's only His shed blood, His work at Calvary, and what He did on that cruel cross that pays for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secures them a home in heaven. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lesson today. And it's in your Son Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Words that are needed today. Let's begin in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to begin with one verse there, verse 11. And the words of Almighty God have this to say: a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. When it says here, I believe, a word fitly spoken, in other words, a word that is spoken in the right way, with the right attitude, the right heart attitude, and at the right time, is like, it shows you how beautiful it is and the effect that it will have. It's like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. In today's society, careless words are often spoken. Words that often destroy and injure instead of encourage and build up. In today's lesson, I want us to look at words that are needed today. Words that are needed today are, first of all, words of cheer. Words of cheer. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, in verse number 22, Proverbs 17, verse 22, the words of God say, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. See that? It's equating someone who is lighthearted, someone who has a merry heart. It's like a medicine, you know, that you take for your condition, your medical condition. I mean, they've done many studies where they've shown a patient in a hospital bed, you know, things that were funny, some comedy routines, whatever it may be, you know, on the TV or a video, and get them laughing. And it really cheered them up and made them feel better. See? That's what we're talking about. Words of cheer. Being lighthearted. You see, our world today is filled with sadness. And part of that is because people take themselves too seriously. Most of the news that we read about, hear about, amen, is about bad things that happen. If there's any other time, it's now that words of cheer are needed. Cheerful words help give a right perspective both to those who give them and those who receive them. Amen. We need to be cheer-uppers. Amen. We need to cheer one another up sometimes. We need a good laugh. Amen. I remember one preacher said that, especially for people, the church greeters that greet people in the door, amen, that we want to smile them in, not frown them out, amen. That's what I'm talking about. We need to discover the power of the words of cheer and use them more generously, amen. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 with me. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse number 13, the words of God say this: A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. See, that sorrow can break one's spirit. But a merry heart can cheer one up. A cheerful countenance. You know, the way one looks when you look at them. Are they cheerful? Are they sad? Amen. Well, that can be as be if they're sad and downtrodden because of the trials and troubles of this world. Amen. But that merry heart is like medicine. A merry heart. That's what we need today, more merry-hearted Christians. We have, you and I as Christians, so much to be happy about, to be cheerful about. I mean, if you're saved and you know when that your sins are all forgiven and you're going to heaven when you die, I mean, Why are we down in the mouth all the time? You know, we need to be praising Almighty God for all that He's given us. Amen. If you get up this morning, praise the Lord. You had food on your table, praise the Lord. You got a fine family, praise the Lord. You have a good local church to attend, praise the Lord. You got a job to go to. Praise the Lord. Maybe you don't have a job to go to. Still praise the Lord. Amen. See? Look with me in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16 with me. In verse number 33... Jesus is speaking here in the context. Notice what he says. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. If you don't have peace today, brothers and sisters, it's because you're not in Christ. See? That's where peace comes from. See that? In me, he says. That in Christ you may have peace. Paul calls it the peace that passeth all understanding. And then he tells us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It's going to come. It shouldn't be any big surprise to you when tribulation comes. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. See, when you and I get to the end of our life, we leave this world, and the next world goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. What we're going through here is but for a moment, a light affliction. We have so much to look forward to. And we have such a glorious message. The power of God unto salvation, when we witness to folks about how they can be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can save one from going to hell. Amen. Cheer up. Amen. Have a merry heart. Be lighthearted. Amen. You know, there is a time to mourn, to be serious. Amen. I'm not saying there isn't. But boy, do we need today, we need words of cheer. The other, what other kind of words we need today? Number two, we need words of comfort. Amen. Did you ever think about, instead of criticizing a brother and sister in Christ that are going through a hard time, or maybe have fallen into sin, amen, stop coming to church, having problems, did you ever think about going, or you know, putting a little note in the mail, we're praying for you, we love you, we're here for you, or just putting your arm around that individual and telling them that you love them, amen, then it's going to be all right because Jesus Christ said it's going to be all right if we just trust in him, amen. Look in 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. In verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, we read, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See again? Comfort them which are in any trouble. See? Do you know someone who's in trouble? That needs to be comforted? Amen. Go to them. Comfort them. See? Take them out to dinner. Do something. Amen. To tell them, to show them that you care. Amen. Violence and wars have brought sorrow and bereavement to the lives of millions. The world that we're living in today is really become a place of discouragement and discomfort. And words of comfort are so needed today. You see, suffering. Suffering is eased by comforting words. See? Maybe you know someone who's lost a job. Someone who's been given the diagnosis of cancer, or someone who's lost a child. Or maybe their spouse has been unfaithful to them. Whatever suffering they're going through, amen, they need to be comforted. Their suffering needs to be eased by comforting words. See? And you can do it. Amen. Because maybe that you yourselves have gone through a similar thing that that individual, your brother and sister in Christ, is going through. And the reason that you've gone through it is so God has put you through it is so you can comfort others. Amen? Make an effort today. Amen. To comfort someone today. Someone needs to be comforted. Amen. You know, don't let the devil or your flesh say, "No, I don't, you know, they'll reject me." So what if they did? You're doing the right thing. You're in the will of God when you try to go and comfort a person. And then when we comfort others, what happens? The Lord comforts us in return. See? Because our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse says, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In verse 3, God is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See that? Comfort someone today. Give them words of comfort, encouragement. Amen? What other kind of words are needed today? How about words of compassion? Compassion. See? I believe it's the book of Jude. Amen? Which is before Revelation. Is it not the book of Jude? In verse 22, as there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. You say, how can I make a difference? Have compassion, my friend. See? Have compassion. Look at in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. See? We read the words of God say, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family, the family of God, the children of God. See? Who but another brother and sister in Christ should have compassion in love for another brother, sister in Christ? Amen. The world's not going to do it. Amen. We need to do it. We need to be there for one another. Good times, bad times, when someone slips up and falls. Amen. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said there in Galatians. I think sometimes, as Bible believers, we forget about it, but it's in the Bible. In Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, have compassion on someone, a brother and sister in Christ, that's been overtaken in a fall, that's got over their heads, they're out of fellowship with God because of sin. You know, don't have the attitude, they're in sin, I don't want anything to do about it. We're not asking you to get into sin with them. No, the Bible says to restore them. Make an attempt. Go after them. See? Just as Christ went after he left the 99 and he went after the one. See? Because you and I have to remember, the shoe could be on the other foot. We could be the one needing the compassion. The one needing being restored. Amen? The one that's been overtaken in the fault. See? You know, as you go and you read the gospel accounts, one thing really stands out, does it not? Jesus had great compassion on the sick, the suffering, and the sinful of his day. See? We must have compassion as Christ. You know, Christ is our example to follow in everything. On how to live, our suffering, how we're to act. And that includes compassion. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we see this time and time again as we read the gospel accounts. The words of God say here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Can you imagine? It actually moved him. It had an effect upon our Savior. Amen. It worked him up inside. He was moved. His heart was moved towards them. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. See? He was moved. Why? Because they fainted. They were scattered abroad. They were lost. Like sheep without a shepherd. They were going this direction and that direction. Amen. But what we see here is the compassion that Jesus Christ had for the multitude came from his heart. Compassion. Compassion must come from the heart. It must reveal a sincere concern and understanding for the hurts and the needs of others. See? Oh, my dear friends, words of compassion are so needed today. I didn't say you should be soft on sin. No. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, amen, instead of looking down on a person, we need to look up to heaven and ask God for the grace that we can comfort that person and have compassion on that person and, you know, and cheer them up and tell them everything's going to be all right. Jesus Christ wasn't soft on sin. Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? Amen. When he had dealt with her accusers, and then he said, okay, I'm not accusing you, but go and sin no more. He didn't tell her it's okay to continue in your sin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having compassion to an individual, comforting an individual. Because that made you, what you have to say to them may just be enough to turn them around, to come them back to God instead of going away from God. See? How many people do we, how many unsaved do we turn off by what we have to say? And how many Christians who have been overtaken a fault, instead of bringing them back, they continue to be away because they can't find the compassion, the comfort that they need for what they're going through. Finally, I want to see as we look at what kind of words are needed today. Well, we need words of Christian love. Christian love. I mean, that should be found in the church house, amen, more than any other place. You're certainly not going to find it in the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we are reminded, Christians, and be ye kind one to another. We're to be kind, brothers and sisters, to one another. But my goodness, sometimes Christians can be so unkind, can they not? And then it says, tender-hearted. We all know what it means to have a tender heart. That's the opposite of a hard heart. A tender heart has compassion and comforts others and tries to be cheer them up. Amen. And then it says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know, sometimes you cop the attitude, well, I can't forgive so-and-so. What do you mean you can't? What if Christ had that attitude? Amen? You'd be on your way to hell right now. See? We're to forgive one another. Christ is our example. As Christ, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So don't think you're above it. Remember, Christ came from the glory of heaven. He came down and took upon the form of a man. He was a servant. Amen. He was humble when he walked this earth. He was full of compassion. He made a difference when he was here. And we're to be like him. We're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. Words of hatred, unfortunately, and strife are prevalent in today's society. Words of Christian love are needed more than ever. Are they not? The scriptures admonish us to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Romans 12:10. Kindly affectionate one to another. Is that how you've been towards your brother and sister in Christ? Kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love? If not, why not? Today we've seen in our lesson, words that are needed today are words of cheer, words of comfort, words of compassion, words of Christian love. I believe the Apostle Paul summed up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the character and the content of Christian speech. And here it is, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See that? Whatever comes out of your mouth, my friend, should edify the listener, build them up, and minister grace to them. And if it doesn't, then it's corrupt communications. Hope today's lesson has been a blessing to you. I hope you'll join me next time when we come together on the Pastor Study. Until then, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.